Listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Hello.
The Okie Cokie lady.
Back for the Brit. What am I Okie Cokie?
In, out, shake it all about.
Little holiday here, little
holiday here, sickness there. Yeah. She's been all over the place, listener.
I came back, Paul Andrews, feeling full of the joy of spring from my 2 weeks off.
Yep.
A little bit of carver here, a little bit of carver, swimming in the sea.
Yeah, got over the hangover.
Paella.
Yeah.
Paella soaks up anything. Really.
Yeah, does it, yeah.
Yeah, and then me.
You had a weird paella while you were away as well, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah, I'm sure you sent me a picture of something awful.
Was it mixed?
Well, no, you had a seafood paella and then something else.
I'm
sure you did. The trouble is, James, she sends me pictures of food all the time, obscure times of night as well, like 3 o'clock in the morning. You didn't reply. You showed me your breakfast the other morning, and I showed you my spam and salad cream and pineapple pizza.
Hang on a minute. You had spam?
I had spam.
I didn't think spam was still going.
I had spam, pineapple and salad cream pizza.
That is disgusting.
I know.
But hang on, isn't spam something from Monty Python?
It's
from the 70s.
Yeah, it is. Actually,
Auntie Edna used to have
actually,
it.
Actually, the term spam for illicit emails actually comes from that Monty Python sketch.
How come?
It was a sketch about some Vikings, and they were all sat in a cafe at the seaside, right? And the woman came on and said, "What do you want?" And somebody went, "Spam." And they said, "We don't do spam anymore." And then they all sat there going, "Spam, spam, spam, spam." And that's where it came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I remember my friend's mum used to do a spam fritter.
Come on, you're the same age as me. We used to have spam for our Sunday tea. Though.
Yeah, well, my mother was a little bit more upmarket because we were from Essex.
What did you ham?
We would have... salmon.
Tin salmon.
And my mum thought she was really cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Because she would do a lettuce leaf with the tin salmon on the side, salad cream.
Yeah.
A tomato, a spring onion, right?
Yeah. And two slices of cucumber.
Yeah. And that was her being Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Tin salmon we had. But yeah, spam was a thing.
So you didn't like my pizza anyway? Did you see it?
No. But this is the thing with Twitter X.
I know, you can't see anything anymore.
I go on and I'm seeing the same things. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
From like 3 weeks ago, and I'm not getting, I have to search for you to make sure that you haven't forgotten me. I have to search.
Sorry, who are you?
At VanillaWeb. I mean, I know I've had 2 weeks off. But then, of course, we had a lovely holiday. We came back feeling like full of the joys of spring, like spring lambs we were, me and the new husband.
With mint sauce.
And, you know, because we both love each other so much, we always get ill together.
Isn't that cute?
So got back Monday. Of a Wednesday night, I said, "I've got a little bit of a tickle in my throat." And he said, "So have
I." Didn't touch you.
Yeah. And of course, his was much worse. You know.
Of course.
So he was coughing and the tissues. He leaves like tissues. I go, "Can you put your tissues down the toilet, please? Because I don't want it. I don't want what you've got." Because I only had fatigue. He had, terrible.
He had a full Monty, did he?
He did.
Yeah.
But the fatigue was
bad. Is he okay now?
He's fine.
Have you checked?
Yeah, he's at an NFT conference, which makes it worse because he sabotages my Tuesdays.
Okay.
It's a nice day for me. I leave the house.
Yeah, but why, I don't understand. What's it got to do with him?
Well, because he's supposed to look after the dog when
Darcy
Greyhound cannot be left. She's a rescue. And she eats windows and doors if she's left. So she has something called separation anxiety.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
So,
I do that as well. When I'm anxious, I eat things.
Well, yeah, I do, but at least not windows and doors.
Yeah, but not the door or your shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've got two lovely people in... hello to
Two
Jazz.
Lovely what?
Two lovely people in looking after Darcy. And hello to Joe and Jazz. And our house is a bit odd, as you know. It's upside down. Not just that, upside down, but we've got a hot water tap. So when people come round, if they haven't been, you have to spend an hour showing them everything before they blow themselves up. So I go, "This is the hot water tap. You have to push it down, turn it that way."
Is this for boiling water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Boiling water. Hot water, boiling water. And then this way, you have to press it down, and that's drinking water. It's filtered. Don't drink these because these are soft water taps. It's like a minefield. I need to...
Have you got an instruction manual?
Oh, I'm going to make a video. And then I said, you know, this is Darcy's Kong. About 2 o'clock, she wants a Kong.
What's a
play
Kong?
With. Darcy.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah. Have you got a dog, James?
Yes.
What dog have you got?
We've got a Cavalier King Charles.
Oh, family. Have you?
My mum had a Cavalier King Charles called Sam, yeah.
Yeah, because they can go into the Houses of Parliament, can't they? Aren't they the only dog that can go into royal places?
Yeah.
Learning something new every day.
He's getting the picture now, I can tell. So anyway, yeah, I have to show them the Kong, of which I'll send you a picture.
I still don't know what a Kong is.
Oh, look. It's a big...
Oh, lovely.
Very royal, the Cavalier King Charles. I mean, greyhounds, very different. Darcy is 3 now. But Kong, you stuff it. It's a big rubber thing, and you stuff it with biscuits, and then you give it to them, and they have to try and get the biscuits out of the hole. And it's supposed to amuse them for a few hours.
Yeah.
That's torture, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're torturing your... You have a torture implement for your dog. Okay, got it.
And then I've also left them Joe and Jazz. I've told... I don't know if they... They said they might listen in. I told them not to, because they're working. They're working from home. And actually, Jazz is a very good graphic designer, so we'll have to get her on. And then I said, if you don't mind feeding the fish, and there was a lot of jobs. I said, I don't know how I ever got out at 6 in the morning in the old days. It, you know, I leave at 11. It's like a full-time job. Anyway.
I'm falling asleep.
The other thing was, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
My car didn't...
Right, I've been waiting to get to this. Yeah. You crashed your car, haven't you?
I did not crash my car. So
yes, you did.
I went to Canterbury Garden Centre with the new husband to get fish food or whatever we were getting. This is about 4 months ago. And as we came back to the car with our fish food and...
Hold on, this happened 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And as we came out, this man came up to Gavin, new husband, and said... This lady has just gone into your car and walked off, but I took a photo.
Right.
This man is our saviour.
Right.
So the new husband, he went in. In fact, I wasn't with the new husband. He was on his own. That's right. So he then had to go into this huge garden centre with the registration number of this woman who'd crashed our car and gone off and moved her car
somewhere else
in this big car park. And so he went in and he asked them to tannoy, and they said, oh, we haven't got a tannoy. So he had to go round the whole of this garden centre going, have you got a registration? And eventually he found her in the cafe, philandering, which she was. And he went up and said, hello, you know, sorry to stop you with your croissant, but you've just gone into my car. And she said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, I've been given a photo, and there's the car, like, literally on it and then moving to the other side of the car park. And he said, I'd like your insurance details. And she said, no, no, I'm not giving it to you. And the friend that was with her, who was highly embarrassed, said, the first woman said, oh, I would have heard a bleeper. You know, I definitely didn't touch it. And then Gav said, well, you did move your car afterwards. Then the friend that was with her gave new husband her phone number.
Right.
So she obviously was very, very sweet.
Right.
So it's all gone on their insurance, and we had this BMW, whatever you've got, 520, but it's a 30.
Sport. Sport, yeah.
I got in. I'd had a week in with the Lurgy.
Did it say, don't touch that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like a... It's like
some
a,
German bird. She says, don't touch that. Don't push the button
it's
there.
It's like a Boeing 747. I got in. I said to my new husband, I said, I think I'll go in the dog car for a couple of weeks. I'm not... I can't deal with this. Lights flashing, buzzing. Da-da-da.
What colour lights?
Oh, blues, green.
Yeah, yeah, no, you
red.
Can change the colour of the interior lights.
And
yeah.
then there's an ambience thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you can touch this ambience thing, and then it goes, and then the roof goes closed, and the windows tint and fall
asleep.
And
it goes pink, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was all too much, but I've driven it in today. If I ever get home, it will be rather good. But it's too much, Paul Andrews.
Okay.
I just want a car that goes from A to B. The key you don't need. I said to my new husband, I'm just going to get out of the car and leave it, or I'm going to lose it. Well, what's the point of the key?
Yeah.
I don't get that. It's a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to drive yours?
It took me ages, actually, to get used to it, you know, because...
Because of our age.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, half the stuff on these cars you don't need anyway.
You never, use it.
They do it just because they can. It's not because anyone wants it. It's like, I think the thing that drives me the bonkers, it drives me absolutely bonkers.
Bonkerish.
Is the beepers that tell you you're close to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You drive past a leaf in the road and it goes beep, 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 beep. you drive into a concrete post, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a thing.
Well, that's what that lady
you
said.
You pull away, blade of grass. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to, you know, they build car parts in supermarkets in this country for cars that they stopped making in 1935.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get out the car, basically.
Yeah, so you get the car in, but you can't open any of the doors or anything. And the problem is, when you're trying to park in there, all you get is beep, 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 beep. It drives you bonkers.
Well, also hopeless for the dog because, you know, we have an old dog car, the Honda CRV, which is the best car ever.
Dogs are right driving that, actually.
Dog's fine with that. Yeah. But on this one, because we, you know, it's not our car, so we put blankets and pillows and stuffed all the back because she's sliding around in the back. And, yeah, I can't wait to get my car back, really. Because my car, I know how to drive it.
So what have they done to it?
They're putting a whole new panel on.
Oh, the back?
But they've had it 2 weeks.
All right, okay.
It's, I don't know who it's
even. Big panel, then.
Yeah, but very, I mean, this car is better than my car, so maybe I'll keep it.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's fast. God, it's fast. I mean, I was doing rather a lot today.
she had to rein back in on that, didn't she? I was doing 95 down the school run.
Officer. Yeah. You have to really slow down. It does go. But anyway, lovely to be back. And hello, all the listeners. And we've got listeners in Romney Marsh. Where else?
Is that it? Just a listener in Romney Marsh?
No, quite a few. We've got a few on the marsh.
There's quite a few on the marsh. There's quite a few in East Sussex.
And
there's a lot in East Kent. There's a lot
Sankport.
There's some in America. There's some in France.
Hello.
There's some in South Africa.
Bonjour.
Yeah. Bonjour.
If they're in South Africa, maybe in Constantia. A little bit of wine.
Yeah.
One of my favourite places.
Cool. Anyway.
Anyway, hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you in the pink.
Yeah, should we start the show?
Yeah.
It's not pink, it's lavender.
Well, so you say. Yeah.
You're colourblind.
It's very fetching. Martin Reeves has said hello on the Twitter. The Twitter's very busy, actually.
Yeah.
He says he's just got home and tuning in. This is Martin Reeves without the Vandellas. And I never think you get that joke. Because you're
well, you've done it enough times.
Yeah, but you've never once laughed.
Yeah, well, no, it's not funny.
But
that's why. It's not funny.
So Martin Reeves and the Vandellas. You can find him at Collector's Buddy on the Twitter. He's seeking a salary and he wants to get off disability. So have a look at this. He's selling, very interesting, TV, film, toy, props. And you can find him on Collector's Buddy, buddy.org.uk. He was born on 30th of October, apparently.
Okay.
And so, yeah, give him a follow. And, of course, he's going to come around and inspect my Yogi Bear soon.
Did anyone follow any of that? Really?
Yeah. Why, what?
Did anyone follow any of that?
Happy birthday on the 30th.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I hope you and Yogi had a wonderful birthday. And, sorry, Martin. You can't get the staff. You really can't.
Now, look. He's listening avidly, so he's our most avid listener so far. He says, I got back to my car in Sainsbury's, other supermarkets are available, in Maidstone last Christmas, where a lady had parked her car into the back of mine. I don't think that's parking, Martin. I don't think that's parking, actually. She refused to give me her details, so I had to call the police. Do these things only happen to Jules and I?
Yeah.
That's terrible to refuse. That's illegal, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it, where people won't give you their insurance details, you know. I mean, I guess some of them might not have insurance, but, you know, I mean, you can see the registration number, so you can just record the registration number. So unless the car's stolen, you know.
But you have to have almost proof, don't you? Otherwise, anyone could say somebody's gone in when you've already got
Rat. True, but you know.
Don't cry.
Yeah, but what happens in those kind of situations is you take the other person's insurance details, and then the insurance companies thrash it out amongst themselves.
Yeah,
it's up to them to thrash it out.
What gets me is the money they throw around. I mean, this car I've got is state of the art, brand new. Okay, I've got a nice Merc; it's nice, but that's someone else's money, someone else's premium.
Yeah,
and we've had that car just to do this. Scratch, panel over a week. So that's someone else's, you know, if that was my insurance, I would be, you know, they're just throwing someone else's money away, aren't they?
A lot of that is ridiculous. I had a Porsche, okay, and somebody backed into the wheel arch and I needed it done. So I went to the Porsche garage and got a quote, and it was about 800 quid, and Porsche garages are over the top. Anyway, I thought, I'm going to claim on my insurance. Somebody hit me, but I don't know who it was because they'd driven off and there was no sign of them. So I went to my insurance company and I said, right, this is the deal. And they went, yeah, we'll pay for it. Not a problem. We'll tell you where to send the car. And I went, well, aren't I going to just send it to the Porsche dealer? And they went, no, we don't use them. We use a special body company. It's 1900 quid. Yeah. And you're going, that's ridiculous. That's £1,000 more than Porsche were going to charge. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you another thing of interest, which is my son, Shay, has a little house that he rents out because he works in London, so it's in Whitstable. And the tenant had a leak that went on and on and on, and he suddenly realised it's done a lot of damage. The excess on his insurance was £750 without building and all that. So I got my local builder to go round. He's doing the whole job for £450. So it's bonkers, isn't it? It's you can't use your insurance.
I want to talk about house insurance. I want to mention Swinton Insurance.
Right. Is this a goodie or a baddie?
It's a baddie.
I knew
they're
it was.
Awful.
I could tell by your evil
Don't
face.
Never use them, ever.
Swinton.
I've been a customer of Swinton's for years, donkey's years, for my home and contents, building and contents insurance, yeah? I got one of these no reply email things that says your insurance is due for renewal on the 26th of October. Go into the portal to see your renewal documents, but you don't have to do anything. If you don't do anything, we'll auto renew. Yeah. I'm going to look, right? My insurance last year for home and contents insurance, which hasn't changed, and I've never made a claim in 40 years, not a single claim. Last year it was £320. Guess what they wanted for the renewal?
Double?
£1,200.
That's crazy. It is
£1,200 quid. And you're going, you're just bonkers. I ring them up, I go, I'm not paying that, cancel the insurance. And I said, you know, why? Well, you know, the other. You go on to compare the market, and the first one that comes up is Swinton offering you 400 quid, and you go, oh, this is just nonsense. And they did that to me with the car insurance as well.
Yeah, the car insurance has gone up. It's ridiculous. I'm an old biddy, and we've never had any accidents apart from this.
I've got a really interesting.
It goes up and up.
I've got really interesting insurance on my car. My car's a BMW. It's leased. And BMW said, do you want our insurance as well? Well, maybe. It's 43 quid a month. And the thing is, there's no end to the policy. You can end it when you want, or you just leave it running. So they just take 43 quid a month for insurance forever, or until you go, I don't want it anymore.
So what does that work out a year? Who's doing the maths? Well, come on, James. Come on, James.
£480 quid. Yeah, about 500 quid.
And what was your quote from the other lot?
Well, I didn't get. I never bothered to get a quote on this one. I was paying about 500-600 quid on the Mercedes I had before, so it's on the spot for what it was. But the thing I like about it is you pay. I mean, I normally buy my insurance by the year, yeah, but they charge me monthly, and it's ongoing. You don't have to remember to renew it. It just keeps running until you say stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll put it up at some point, but.
Changing the subject to something pleasant, I've been watching The Detectorists on Netflix now, but I think it's the Channel 5 or 4 show with Mackenzie from The Office, Mackenzie Crook.
Yeah.
And it is just lovely. Anyone that likes something English, British, whatever, Mackenzie Crook is stunning. And it's just so... I'm on Series 3 with the new husband. It's just lovely. It's about metal detectorists. And it's just very, very lovely. So if you can catch that, if you've got Netflix, or it might even be on, I don't know, radio channel or whatever, but it's The Detectorist with Mackenzie Crook. Highly recommend it. It's from years ago. I don't know how I missed it. And it's just lovely. We're addicted.
Okay. Seriously. Had a tweet from Justin Dean.
Oh, what's
of Creative
Justin
Motion.
Saying?
He said, can I have a shout out on the Business Bunker, please?
You
yes,
can.
You can, Justin. You've just been shouted out.
What's he doing?
What's he do?
What's he doing? Is he filmmaking at the moment?
At the moment, he's tweeting me.
Yeah, but he must be filmmaking. You're going to be in one of these moods just because you're dressed in pink.
Yeah, it's because you haven't been here.
It's affected your...
It's lavender.
Dilly dilly.
Yeah, yeah. He's working on lots of things at the moment.
Yeah, well, he's
just written a blog on the impact of artificial intelligence on the audiovisual industry.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting blog. It's up on the Business Radio website as a blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he's never really recovered since he filmed You and I, has he?
He's been laying down in a dark room ever since.
Exactly. Yeah. I was looking at some of my interviews with Mark Stein from GB News the other day, and then up we popped on YouTube. Two of us. There's two
of
you.
Both of us at the same time.
No, two films of you and me.
Oh, two films of me and you.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're running late now.
Okay, is it time for Cheesy Tunage?
It's time for Cheesy Tunage.
What you got?
A mate of ours is a drummer in this band. That'll give you a clue.
Mud.
It's Mud, yeah.
That sounds a bit rude.
Hypnosis.
Oh, I see what you did there. I don't know this song though. It could be anyone, couldn't it, from the 70s? I can see why this didn't get into a chart. There was nothing I could do. What to do after all you put me through? You're hypnotic when you touch. Your hypnosis is too much. And you burn me with your hypnotistic fire.
Part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Hypnosis. Do you see what I did there?
That's really clever. I've never heard that song, but yeah.
Yeah, there's probably a reason why we've never heard that song.
Yeah. But very clever, Paul Anderson.
Do you think so? Oh,
yeah,
please.
I think you've upped your game since
Basically, that was Cheesy Tunage in homage of our first guest, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show for the very first time, Mr. Jake Nodea. Jake, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Jake is a stressed executive, although he doesn't look very stressed to me.
No.
I don't think he's talking about himself there, do you?
No.
Well,
there was a time, which is actually what led me to that.
Okay. Well, why don't you start off, not necessarily there, but give us a bit of a background to Jake. You sound like you might be from the Southern Hemisphere somewhere, Africa way. So give us a bit of background to Jake, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So I came to the UK about 25 years ago.
Okay.
I grew up in Zimbabwe with South African heritage.
Okay.
I grew up on a farm in Zim, went to school there. Went to the farm after school. That was the intention to stay there. I came here on a 2-year holiday, and that 2-year holiday turned into an indefinite.
How old were you?
Thing. I was 28.
Okay, wow.
28 with the idea of coming for 2 years and then back to the farm.
Right.
And didn't end up going back to the farm. Stayed here and got a career going here. Got into IT and then training and then project management in the corporate world.
Okay, so you're swanning around the UK, not going back.
Loving the weather.
Yeah, because the weather in Zimbabwe is awful.
So
you did all those kind of things. You were working in the corporate world. You made reference just now to having suffered some stress yourself. So was that as an outcome of what you were doing corporately or...?
It was. I mean, you know, the corporate stuff is what I was doing at the time, but the reality is I was at the bottom of that because I didn't recognize stress. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to do. And stress isn't something that happens to us. Mm. It's how we deal with what's happening to us, you know, so which makes it us. It's an us thing. We do it to ourselves. Yes, so the further and further I climbed up the corporate ladder, the closer stress chased me up that ladder. And the bigger my projects got, the more pressure I had, the more I was handling stress badly, the more it was catching up. And after 23 years, it did catch up. It got to the point where I thought I was going a bit nuts. Mm. I was behaving in strange and unpredictable ways. Yeah. I mean, more stranger.
It was a red nose and flippers he was wearing to work that tipped him off.
Yeah. What kind of things, Jake?
I was struggling to do the simplest things that I just wasn't struggling with before. I was struggling with work, with simple stuff, with relationships. I was my fuse was blowing at a short temper, shorter than usual. Everyone was on eggshells around me.
Mm.
And it got to the point where my wife and daughter sat me down and said, you know, something wrong here. And something desperately needs to change. Mm. And it's not us.
Mm.
So they had their little intervention. And rightly so, because you know what stress does is it creeps up on you so slowly and you don't realize you've got it.
I was just going to say
climatize as it increases.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things, isn't it? That it's just so.
It's insidious.
And you might even say, you might even argue, well, I don't feel stressed.
Well, this was the interesting thing. And, you know, at that point, I knew nothing about it. Today, I know a whole bunch of stuff. But what was happening then is I'd acclimatized with my stress. And what happens is you so rapidly get used to your new level of stress and your new tolerance level that becomes your new zero, your new normal.
Yeah.
And then you increase again and you find a new normal and a new normal. And eventually, my new normal was just below the lid of the stress bucket.
So was
you know?
It affecting your sleep?
It was affecting everything. And, you know, you grow up with this cowboys don't cry thing. You grow up with this, you know, you got to be tough. You got to be the breadwinner. You've got to be strong. Particularly where I grew up in the, you know, in Southern Africa.
Men are tough.
Exactly. Mm. So I brought that with me. I didn't learn that stuff growing up.
Mm.
So I never learned to recognize when I had it because you just fight through whatever emotion you're busy having.
There's also this thing with corporate type stress as well, where as you go up the power chain, you kind of accept that as a part of what you're doing, that you know that says, well, you know, I'm the boss now, so of course I feel stressed, you know, that's part of the job.
And it's almost encouraged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if you don't have it, you're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
If you look relaxed, if you're walking slowly, dude, you're not at the right pace.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you're having a leisurely lunch, there's something wrong.
And don't buy two sandwiches, whatever you do.
So, I didn't recognize it, but they did, you know. Yeah. So usually when you're in that position, the people around you are the first ones to know. And my absolute saving grace and blessing was that I listened.
Right.
Inside, I was doing flick flacks. I wanted to react. I wanted to say to them, but don't you know I'm doing this for you?
Yeah.
Don't you know, you know, but I bit my tongue just long enough to not react, to listen and to think to myself, okay, well, listen, this is my wife and my daughter. They love me. They are, there's no malice here.
Yeah.
I'm wounded. I'm offended. But there's no malice.
Yeah.
So let me just suck it up and listen. And I did. I soaked it up and listened. Had some time to think about it. And then I realized they were right.
Hmm.
Somewhere along the way, I had lost my way. I had taken the good, solid foundation and ideals that we started with as a family. And I started chasing the shiny things that we weren't looking for as a family.
Yeah.
Chasing the money.
Yeah.
Chasing the bigger thing that, you know, they didn't ask for. And somewhere I lost my way. And then those things became the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a nice opportunity to reset. It was a fortunate opportunity that I managed to turn one way and not the other, because I, you know, everything could have ended at that moment.
Yeah.
Having sat down, they then gave me the room. They could see, okay, there's still eggshells here, but, you know, Jake's on the case.
Mm.
That bought me a little bit of time to reassess.
So did you have to stop work for a while?
I didn't. I worked through. I fought through.
So when you're saying time to reassess, it was crammed in somehow.
Time to think and work out the next plan while I'm working. And, you know, the minute you see a plan is formulating, it's easy to give somebody room because something's busy happening, right? There's light at the end of the tunnel now. So I kept the day job up, was thinking, searching. I went back to my roots. You know, when I started here, I went for the highest paid job I could find, IT. I arrived a farmer, but I got a job in IT after a 4-week course because that's the most money I could make. And I spent 23 years chasing the money, not my passion. But I arrived here a farmer with a passion for people.
Yeah.
So this was an opportunity to reset and go back to the passion for people, to go back and think, well, okay, if I'm going to start again, let me start right. What is it that I'm passionate about? And I believe firmly that whatever you're passionate about, if you're passionate enough and you work enough and you've got your eyes open, you will make you'll get to the point where that will pay the bills. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
So I went to the people side. A friend of mine was studying hypno. It was a 10-month study. It was evenings and weekends. So I kept the day job up and did that. And that brought me more than enough grace with my wife and daughter, because, you know, they can see this thing's happening now.
Do you think, I kind of want your view on this as much as anything. It strikes me that a huge amount of mental anguish and stress and things like that is when we don't feel in control of our life anymore, or parts of our life, or the job or whatever. Do you think part of your healing process was having come to this realization that you weren't being true to yourself, actually suddenly put you back in a bit more control of your life? Is that fair?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I had spent a lifetime chasing, you know, not being true to myself.
Yeah.
Having, you know, achieving the wrong things, and all of those things being hollow and meaningless, always chasing, never finding. And then having the opportunity now to do what was meaningful and had real value, To me, suddenly I was being true to myself. Suddenly my decisions had an impact on myself and my family, and it was all positive.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're excited to get up every day.
Right.
You're looking forward to going out because you're helping people. You're making a difference to people's life. You're not just paying for your beer coupons.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then obviously the way you're thinking too.
Okay.
Stress, what lies underneath stress is the way the way we're thinking.
Yeah.
So when the world happens to you and you're thinking negatively about the world happening to you, every single negative thought causes your body to produce adrenaline and cortisol.
Mm.
And the feeling of stress is just what those two hormones feel like. Mm. So the more negative thinking you do with the world happening around you, the fuller your stress bucket gets, the more adrenaline and those hormones you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, you start off nice and relaxed, and then you feel a little bit sharp, just, you know, got some right amount of attention. Then you start to feel a little bit stressed. Then you feel overwhelmed. Then you're overflowing.
Yeah.
And then you start
all your thinking, that ruminating, looping thinking.
And then you start needing little crutches such as food, drink, whatever, you know,
absolutely,
carbs, chocolate, nuts, whatever your...
All of those.
And then you're dealing with the physical presentations of stress as well.
Yeah.
Biting nails.
Yeah.
Butterflies. Palpitations.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because those high extended levels of hormone, actually, I think, in a corporate setting again, that's what that's what powers you on to keep going in the wrong direction. Yeah, because you've got those high levels of hormones floating around in your system. You know, it enables you to work till midnight and get up at 4 a.m. and start again and all that kind of stuff.
The adrenaline and the cortisol gives you the energy. You know, we're designed to, in short bursts, have this high dose of adrenaline, get your muscles charged up, and jump up the tree and escape this lion or whatever danger there is and hold on for dear life, just long enough for danger to pass. As soon as the danger's passed, the adrenaline levels come down, the energy goes back to the parts of your body that it came from in the first place, you come down and it's safe. But in the corporate world, and quite often we misuse this double-edged sword because we need that energy that we don't otherwise have. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here you are. You've come to this realization with the help of your family. You've started to address that. You're still working in the corporate world, but you're starting to put things together. Take us from there.
So from there, I started my practice online. It was during COVID. Started my practice
and you
online.
Said you'd done some training in hypnosis, did you mention?
Yes, so it was solution-focused hypnotherapy.
Okay.
10-month study, evenings and weekends, while I was in full-time employment. And then still while I was in full-time employment, on evenings and weekends, I started seeing clients.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm fascinated by this process. What was this something that helped you, and then you decided to learn how to do it, or did it is just something that you were attracted to learn?
It kind of worked the other way around. Mm. I ended up there by mistake because that's what I was passionate about.
Right.
And then I learned what I needed to recover. I didn't go there for the recovery and then think, well, this is gold, I've got to give it to people.
Yep.
I kind of stumbled upon it.
All right.
And then thought, well, this is gold, let me take it back to the world I know, the world I used to struggle with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So clients, evenings and weekends, and then I took a six-month slow exit from my corporate job, half days for 6 months while I was handing a big project over. And then I did half days hypno, half days the old job.
Right.
And then after the six months, it was full-time hypno.
Okay.
Do you think that part of being a farmer, and with your amazing upbringing in Africa where you had space, and then coming to the corporate world in London or in England, is part of how you became so stressed? That you were used to that different lifestyle?
No, I don't.
They have lions and cheetahs there. What are you talking about? They have vicious things like crocodiles and water buffalo and stuff.
Yeah, but farming is physical.
Yeah.
Corporate world is sitting.
Well, actually, you know, farming in Africa is sitting as well. Yeah, you know, you drive around giving instructions and issue, you know, getting gangs of people to do stuff.
It's
kind of pretty corporate too.
Really?
No, but I acclimatized. I was very, one of the lucky ones. I acclimatized really quickly coming here. I never, ever had the hankering to go back. That caused me no stress at all. My stress was because I didn't know what to do with the world when it happened.
The world
would happen. I think I was very, very blessed in that I picked something very valuable up from my dad. My mum and dad were two very, very different people. They approached life differently. My mum worried about stuff, and her life went in a particular direction as a result of that constant worry. My dad had this magical ability to allow the water to go under the bridge and, you know, to water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
He'd go for the silver lining. She'd go for the dark cloud.
Yeah.
So I think that was very valuable. And we are the accumulation of our experiences. So my time on the farm, brief time working as a doorman, my time as an IT trainer, everything accumulates. And all the lessons you've learned from everywhere accumulates to feed into what we're doing, now.
Okay. So you've started practice. Tell us about the practice, what you do in it, who you help, and how you help them.
So my hypno practice is stressedexecutive.com.
Right.
I focus my services on CEOs and their leadership teams, working predominantly with stress-related issues. You know, when we're stressed, we're not as efficient as we can be. In fact, the more stressed we get, the less access you have to your intellectual mind. And so that's my main audience. And I have this 8-week program which covers the fundamentals, the stuff that most people kind of struggle with, your perfectionism, your imposter syndrome, your procrastination, your, you know, insomnia. But when I have my initial consultation with the CEO or whoever it is, that will inform, you know, that says, well, here's what's possible. Over 8 weeks, we could look at these 8 things, but what do you want to focus on? You know, what is it for you? And then we'll tailor the package.
Do you work one-to-one with people or in groups or both?
So I don't do group works. I'm busy studying to do group works, but I do one-to-one in person at home. I work from home, or I go on location to the client's office, or I do it over Zoom.
Yep.
But at the moment, it's individuals.
Okay. Yep.
Cool. Wow, you can do it over Zoom, which is very interesting.
That's quite different, isn't it? And you know why you can do it? It's because there's a common misconception about hypnotherapy. The Darren Browns and the stage hypnotists will have you believe that they hold some kind of magic, some kind of power, but it's all smoke and mirrors. The reality is all hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Yeah.
I can't hypnotize you. I can't. I'm a very, very good guide, and I can guide you to hypnotize yourself, which is why you can do it remotely over Zoom, because I don't need you here where I'm doing something to you. Mm. You're doing it to yourself.
So does it work almost like, because I only know the stage ones, does it work like I used to be a yoga teacher, so I would teach guided meditation. So does it work a bit like that?
It's very, very similar. So you have your intellectual mind, you've got your subconscious mind, and between the two, you've got this kind of doorway called the critical faculty. And in certain situations, that critical faculty will just step aside a little bit. It's like the doorman of your mind. And it manages the information flowing between your intellectual mind and your subconscious mind. Mm. And when you're meditating, when you go into a trance state, in self-hypnosis, trance state, driving down the motorway, trance state, long walk, trance state, watching a movie. We do this many times a day. Naturally, we go into this place where the doorman steps aside just a little bit. Reading a book and repetitive things. And then, you know, after an extremely emotional experience, under a very authoritative situation, relaxed, repetitive stuff, you have all these trance-inducing states. And with hypnosis, with hypnotherapy, what we're doing is we're engaging the trance state. We're getting that doorman to step aside a little bit. We're getting the information flowing and access to the subconscious mind, and then we do the therapy part of it. We do the hypnosis and then the therapy in that state. So in each session with a client, I have kind of two halves of the session. The first half of the session will address the conscious mind, the stuff you're aware about, and that's only 5% of you you're consciously aware of. Mm. So we'll do the cognitive tools and techniques to, within your awareness, deal with stuff. And then the second half of the session, the client's intellectual mind steps aside. You go into the subconscious, and then they're not aware anymore. It's when they're lying down, they're on the couch, they've got their eyes closed. They're still fully conscious. They can open their eyes at any time, but they're not involved in the process anymore. Mm. So the first half, we deal with the 5%. The second half, we go subconscious and deal with that. And that's where your autopilot is, where all of your built-in and acquired programs are running on autopilot.
I feel quite relaxed already now.
I was asleep there.
No. It's that couch. Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it? Because I was saying this morning, you know, just having these strangers, you know, lovely people, but they'd never looked after our dog. The dog didn't know them. Just that this morning was stressful because the new husband had gone off at 5. Mm. So I had a lot more to do. I had to race the dog, show them. I got them some food in because they're going to be there all day. And that, just having that extra stuff to do for me was stressful. And then getting in the car that I can't drive because it's not familiar. I'm not on autopilot, trying to work out the radio, the sat nav, couldn't plug my phone in. It was stressful. I was biting my nail on the way. And that's just simple stuff.
And you know, really interesting thing to be aware of, which is a kind of game changer if you start to apply that, is if you realize that your thoughts are agnostic of feelings. Thoughts don't turn up with a feeling. A thought only has a feeling once you've reached into the past or the future and you've tied something to it.
Yeah.
You've tied some disastrous outcome to what's going to happen with the dogs.
Yeah.
You've tied some disastrous outcome to all these buttons in the car and you're going to press the wrong one and you're going to get ejected or something.
Yeah.
But you have no feelings with that thought until you go put something on it.
Yeah.
And when you're aware of that, and you then when you're feeling, when you get a change in your feeling, you can say to yourself, well, what's going on here?
Mm.
What story am I telling myself?
Mm.
Is there any truth in that? Is there any value? Let me tell myself a different story. Well, these buttons are lovely. These buttons are all safe. In fact, these buttons will probably keep me alive in an accident. These are good buttons. I like these buttons.
Right.
And these people, you know, they love my dogs. I can see the dog with them. The dog is just, maybe the dog's going to love them more than me.
Yeah.
You tell yourself a different story.
Yeah.
And it's not the busyness that causes the stress.
Mm.
It's the story we're telling ourselves while we're dealing with the busyness.
Yeah. Okay.
That causes that feeling.
Interesting, that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I love it. And I just from a personal point of view, when I'm under stress, I have this horrible habit of grinding my teeth. Okay. And I don't realize I'm doing it until my teeth start hurting. The interesting thing is, when I become aware of it, I can't stop it. It actually gets worse because I'm now thinking about it. The only way it stops is if I'm completely detached from it and doing something completely different. But the minute I notice, it comes back. It's just, you know what I mean? It's this. So you're absolutely right. It's what you're focusing on. It's what you're thinking about that's causing the issues. Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, knowing that about yourself, if you use your awareness to direct you to the next place rather than to direct your focus to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have a problem state and you have a solution state.
Yeah.
And if you are focused on the problem, the questions you're asking yourself are about the problem. The answers you're getting are about the problem. So if you're aware that you're doing it and you're trying to stop it, but you're focused on that, that's what you're going to get more of. But if you instead think, well, what else could I be doing? What can I do to relax, you know, distract your mind? If you put your focus somewhere else, the questions you ask yourself will come from that place and, you know, then you have your distraction.
Fantastic.
You're winding up, I know, but for the news, but would you go, do corporates pay for you to talk to their employees or do you just employees come to you or how does it work?
They will do in the new world when I'm doing my group work.
Okay.
So the idea is that I work with the CEO, and the CEO says, you know, this is so fantastic. Come and work with each of the individual leadership team or work with them as a group.
Mm.
After that, they say, you know what, come work with a whole sales team.
Mm-hmm.
So the group work will be a new thing that comes in January, February.
Excellent.
Okay. Cool. So, Jake Nadir, the stressed executive. Thank you so much for that. If people want to get hold of you, Jake, or find out more about what you do, what's the best way to do that?
StressedExecutive.com. All the details are there.
Fantastic. StressedExecutive.com. The link to that website is on the radio website, so you can find it there too.
And just a quick little thing. There's also, on there, they'll find a link to YouTube.
Okay.
There's a YouTube channel with lots of short little videos, 3, 4, 5 minute videos, with lots of practical, actionable stuff that you can do for free to help you deal with stress.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
I'm going to show my new husband, because he was snapping at me last night.
Was he?
Snapping.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, because he said, we're going to have a chilled night, and then he looked at his emails.
He made you sit outside, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was nippy. But then he looked at his emails and then started snapping because he had to work. You know, yeah. So, oh, get him on.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Jake, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join a newsroom in 5 or 10 minutes, so we need to catch up with some of our tweets and emails. I want to tell you about this. It's an event that's happening at the Island Works in Sheerness, and the date is now confirmed. This is Tracy Ferguson, and she's going to be staging her very first mixed media creative workshop. She says sharing her joy in this activity with others. So it's going to take place on Saturday the 25th of November from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the absolutely stunning, fabulous, brilliant Island Works at the Dockyard Church in Sheerness. You might know that that's my place.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It's the introductory price is a measly £30. It's going to be loads of fun, and you know, without blowing the trumpet, but blowing the trumpet, it's an absolutely stunning building to spend time in.
And also, Tracy Ferguson, her work is
Is fabulous, and she's a lovely, lovely lady to speak. So,
I might pop along.
The easiest way to find out about this is to follow Tracy on Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Tazzy, T-A-Z-I-64, Tazzy64. So give her a follow on Twitter, find out some more about the workshop. Or if you want to find out, if you don't want to do it on Twitter, you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk and I'll put you in touch with Tracy.
And what was the date again?
It's on the 25th of November, which is a Saturday, and it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
I might trot along.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a little lesson with her.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Hello Barry Thompson. He's based in Whitstable, like me. He is the co-founder of 311 Alpha. That's on the Twitter, 311 Alpha. And the website is alpha-311.com. So hello to you, Barry. And, yeah.
Do you know what they are? Do you know what they make?
No.
Wind turbines, but very special wind turbines.
Do they?
Yeah, very small wind turbines. Wind turbines that don't need wind.
Has it really?
Yeah.
How does that even work? Well, it's not even a wind turbine if it doesn't need wind.
It's a wind turbine that doesn't need wind.
Turbine.
It's a wind turbine. It's Indian.
it's
Sikh. No, it's a wind turbine that doesn't need wind because it generates its own. Or in fact, it has it generated for it.
How does it generate?
You're intrigued now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm intrigued.
They put them in lampposts down the side of the road and the traffic going past powers the turbine.
Okay, excellent.
What a clever idea.
That is really,
yeah,
really
it's
good.
Brilliant.
Because it's a bit like they, it was a pupil from Langton
who
did that thing where you walk in a department store and the floor generates, you know, from footprints and things, which should take off, but of course government are a bit slow on all that, don't they? They'd rather we all put heat pumps
absolutely
in and spend thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
Hello, Barry Thompson. And his personal one is Curious George, but the George is a 3-O-R-G-E, which I think is very clever.
Tracy has actually tweeted as well. She says, I have a poorly car too, and it's being mended today. I hope you didn't back into Jules. but hopefully it'll be finished in time for me to listen to live to the Business Bunker Fun and Facts. I hope you've joined us, Tracy, and that your car's okay. Gravesham for Business, they're part of Gravesham Council. They say, hopefully we don't have too many stressed executives out here, but if we do, there's a potential and anecdote on the radio right now. So there you go.
And the Sheerness Dockyard Trust AGM of this year is it'll be a chance to see inside the restored church and celebrate the completion of this epic restoration project. It's on the 4th of November. It's at 6:30 to 8 p.m. and you can follow them on @dockyardchurch. And details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but it's the 4th of November, and it's a chance to have a look around this restored church.
Mm-hmm. It's a stunning project. I have a lease on the church now, and I run it as a co-working space, a coffee shop, an event.
And you're a vicar
space.
As well now, as well.
And I got an email from the BBC asking if they could do songs of praise for me.
Excellent.
And I went, but it's not a church anymore. And they went, doesn't matter. So I've got to buy a vicar kit now.
Because it's so beautiful. It's scenic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We got the Salvation Army doing their Christmas Carol concert in there as well.
Well, why not? It as a church and everything.
Yeah,
you know, it all goes together.
It does. It does look stunning.
The food would be better than your average church as well, because you've got nice little toasty things.
We do toasties.
Yeah, you do quite tubby making.
We do lots of toasties.
We do
dessert toasties as well. Mm. We do a Snickers and Nutella toasty and a banana honey and cinnamon toasty.
I feel a hint
with
of cream already.
Yeah.
I could have that in the afternoon, evening, not in the morning. Kids that have stuff in the morning, like
we do cake.
Yeah,
too.
Cake in the afternoon, 4 p.m.
Some lovely chicken and chorizo, Sam. Anyway, whatever. Yeah.
Which reminds me, that stuff I was telling Joe and Jazz, I didn't tell them where the tea cupboard is, because I'd made coffee. The tea cupboard.
Oh, tea cupboard.
I'd made coffee. I'd laid out tray and I'd laid out all this food and stuff. But I didn't tell them
Hold on. You've got a tea cupboard.
I have a whole tea cupboard, yeah.
She's got a tea cupboard.
You know I work in.
And in the cupboard is what?
It's a whole tea cupboard. We've got stuff from Africa. We've got...
Well, what kind of stuff?
Well,
Rebush. You've got Rebush tea.
Rebush, of course.
Yeah.
Look, in my studio bag, this is my tea bag.
I thought
Cornish dandelion.
I thought you'd been taking your dog for a walk.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. Not with this. I'd always have a tie. Look, I tell you, Jake would love this. This is, I'll give you one of these, Jake. These are for anti-stress, and they're very good.
What is it?
It's a tea, but it's herbal, but it's a really amazing
herbal.
One. Yeah. From India.
To smoke it or what?
No, I tea it. But I have told them. I haven't told them about the tea cupboard. I'm good at get the news on so I can tell.
Who the hell has a tea cupboard?
I've got three floors of tea.
A tea cupboard?
I've got chai and
I've got... Do you have a coffee cupboard?
I have actually a coffee drawer.
A coffee drawer?
Yeah. Because sometimes I do it on the hob thing with freshly ground. I grind it myself. Or sometimes if I'm in a rush, I've got the Nespresso.
Our baristas have a coffee drawer, but that's where you tap the grounds.
Yeah. Well, when people come round, they've got various tins of tea that they can choose from.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't been round for a while. That's
I haven't.
Your
no,
trouble.
You haven't invited me for ages.
No, well, I try not.
M Farmers Market have been on. They say, we'd love a shout out for the Westmoreland Farmers Market. It's coming Sunday, the 22nd of October. We have a great selection of locally produced seasonable items available. You can give them a follow on Twitter. M Farmers Market is their Twitter handle.
Did you see my outraged tweet when I had to go to Sainsbury's? I try and avoid supermarkets now the kids have left. I went to Sainsbury's and the apples, remembering we're in the Garden of England, were from... Where were they sat? New Zealand.
Hold on. Growing has a season.
We're in apple season.
My apples are all shriveled up.
They're busy picking apples.
We've got russets. We've got Paul Ward, who is the organic farmer, apple farmer. Paul Ward, famous in Kent. Anyway, I have Kentish apples. I will not buy New Zealand apples.
Mine have all shriveled up on the trees.
Oh, that's what Amanda told me.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Kim Stevens, Karen Kent, hello. I'd really love a Business Funk shout out today, please. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on Ashford 01233 619530. That's Ashford 01233 619530. Or email info@careinkent.co.uk or check out our website, careinkent.co.uk. So check it out if you want home care in the Ashford area.
And we're coming up to news. Have I got time to read this tweet?
Yeah, very quickly.
Okay, so Intune PR, the lovely Darren, who often brings in goodies, he said, so is this a way to grind your tea? Listening to you and Vanilla Web on Channel Radio UK, B Bunker yet again. He's done a picture of grinding, which is quite suggestive, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's quite suggestive.
Cool. I think it's probably time for us to join the newsroom.
Find out what's going on.
And we'll find out what's going on in the world, although we've probably got a fair idea already anyway. Yeah. And when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to hear from Mr. James Gardner, and I'm sure we'll hear some more nonsense from Jules.
Yeah, and keep tweeting in as well. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's join the newsroom, and we'll be back with you shortly. Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.